What a privilege it is to be able to gather again as brothers and sisters in Christ to open up God's Word for just a few moments and to study from it. It's my prayer this evening that that we can all gain something from this lesson. I know that I certainly can. I always try to preach and teach something that can be applicable to my life, and I know that this is something that that I can take, you know, and apply to my life, and I hope that each and every one of us can do the same. Please be turning with me to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. We're going to start our lesson in Luke 17, and actually this is going to be kind of the base of our lesson. This is going to be kind of our home scripture for the lesson this evening. But if you'll be turning with me to Luke chapter 17. This evening we're going to talk about the idea of thankfulness and being thankful people. If you would look with me at verse 11 of Luke chapter 17. And this is a story speaking here of Christ, and it says, on the way to Jerusalem, he, meaning Christ, was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. As we start the lesson this evening, I think the first thing that we need to do is we need to look into the idea of leprosy. We need to look in and better know what leprosy was. Leprosy was a skin disease. It's a bacterial infection, a chronic bacterial infection. And this is a disease that was widely spoken of in biblical times. You know, one that was a leper, he was found to have sores all over his body. And over time, the symptoms could get worse and worse, and it could cause nerve damage, and it could cause muscle weakness. You know, if a person was diagnosed with leprosy back in biblical times, as they didn't have any, there was no treatment necessarily for it, he was to stay away from everyone else. And that was an idea to quarantine themselves, to keep them away from the general population, that this disease and this infection, when it spread to everybody and have just some massive outbreak. But the sick individual, they were cast away. They were cast away from the general population. They're an outsider. They were literally shunned by all. They were told to go outside of the city and to stay out there. And Leviticus chapter 13, it gives a specific, it gave them in the Old Testament specific laws concerning how to care and treat for this person who was a leper. Let's look over at Leviticus chapter 13. And Leviticus 13, and we're going to look at verse 45 here. It says, the leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, unclean, unclean. He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Imagine how miserable that must be. That he shall live alone, his dwelling should be outside the camp. But in some cases, now we see over in Leviticus chapter 13, in some cases leprosy could actually go into remission. And Moses gave specific instructions for one who was healed of his leprosy. He gave him specific instructions on what this individual must do. What they were to do is they were to go, and you can look in Leviticus chapter 14. We're not going to take the time this evening to actually read it. But what they were to do is if they felt as if they were cleansed of this disease, of this infection, that they were to go to the high priest, and the high priest would examine them. And you know, the Lord gave them specific things to look for. And then the high priest, you know, if they were found to be clean, then they would pronounce them clean, and they could be, you know, once again, kind of reestablished into the community. But, you know, Imagine the thought of being one of these 10 lepers that come to Christ. You know, you're cast out of the camp. You don't have any contact with other people. You're cast away from your family, your loved ones, your friends. Maybe one of the lepers maybe was a businessman. You know, maybe a tradesman. Maybe they had some trade or something that they did for a livelihood. That's all gone. Imagine coming down with leprosy at that point in time. I mean, for all purposes, you no longer have a life. You know, you are to be cast out. And so imagine, put yourself in the shoes of one of these lepers. But then along comes Christ. And he was their only hope at being cleansed. And so they cry out, "Master, have mercy upon us." And look at what Christ does. He says, "Go to the high priest." And as they were on the way to see the high priest, they were cleansed on their way. But notice that after all is said and done, only one man, one leper of the 10, comes back to give Christ thanks. You know, and not only was this man a leper, we're also told in the scripture that he was a Samaritan. He was a foreigner. I mean, the Jews, they didn't think very highly of Samaritans. You know, Samaritans back in that time, the Jews thought of them to be half-breds. You know, they didn't want anything to do with a Samaritan. So here's this man that was not only a leper, but he was also a Samaritan. And yet he was the only one of the group that went back to Christ to thank him for healing him. So now that we have a good and common understanding of this illness of leprosy, you know, let's kind of dive in a little bit and find out what Christ's reaction was and what his response was. So let's look carefully at verse 17. Then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? You know, we see the thankfulness of the Samaritan man. You know, but what about the others? You know, we assume that these men never came back. We're never told that they did. So, you know, in assuming that these men never came back, I think it's right that we assume that these men were ungrateful for what Christ did for them. These men that had no life, that were sick, that were cast out of the city. You know, I think we could say that they were ungrateful, or maybe they were caught up in the moment. And maybe they forgot to take the time to go and to thank Christ. You know, we don't exactly know the reasoning, but we know that they didn't come back. You know, and I think that in looking at Christ's response to this Samaritan man that did come back, I think we can see that Christ was a bit shocked. Where are the others? You know, didn't I heal 10? Where's the other 9? I think that we can see that, you know, Christ is a bit shocked, and maybe he expected that the other 9 took the time to come back and to give him thanks. So tonight, we're going to look at the idea and the concept of thankfulness a little bit. You know, I think that we can all say, and I know certainly in my life, I can say that things have been done for me, you know, and I'm ashamed to say that I've never gone back and thanked that person. You know, never took the time to go back and just say thank you. You know, maybe it's something that, you know, somebody did out of the kindness of their heart, and you know, they really didn't even have to do it. And yet, maybe I didn't go back and tell them thanks. Thanks, you know, for taking the time to do that, even though you didn't have to do that. But so tonight we're going to just look at this concept, and I think all of us have a similar situation to where, you know, maybe we didn't respond when someone did something for us, and maybe we didn't go and tell them thanks. So what we're going to do now is, you know, we need to ask ourselves, am I as thankful as I should be? And now we're going to look at a few biblical examples of thankfulness. And I think it's a good place to start in seeing other people and how thankful they were. So I think the first example, obviously the ultimate example for us, is the life of Christ. We see that Christ is a complete humble man. We see this man in Christ that, you know, even though he was equal with the Father, we're told that he came down and he humbled himself even to the point of death. He submitted himself to the Father. Well, we see thankfulness in Christ's submission. Let's look over at Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. You know, here we're giving the account when Christ feeds the 4,000. And before feeding these 4,000, he takes the time to offer thanks to God. Let's look at Matthew 15, and we'll start here in verse 35. And directing the crowd to sit down on the ground, he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowd. So here was Christ. I mean, like I said, he was equal to God. And yet he still took time before, giving out these provisions to the disciples and these followers. He took the time to thank his Father and to come to him in thanksgiving. And also over in Mark chapter 14, this is something that we're all familiar with. When Christ institutes the Lord's Supper, the very thing we do every single first day of the week, and what we'll do here in a few moments. When Christ institutes the Lord's Supper, he takes time to thank the Father. Mark chapter 14, starting in verse 22. And as they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them. And they all drank of it. So see, we have this example that Christ took the time in instituting what we call, the Lord's Supper to commemorate and to remember his death. He took the time before giving those emblems out to thank God, to thank our Father. And that's the exact thing that we do. Like I said, every first day of the week, we go to God in thanksgiving, thanking him for his love, his grace, his mercy, and thanking Jesus Christ for his submission to die upon Calvary's cross for the remission of our sins. So I think we certainly see a life of thankfulness in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But another individual that we see a life of thankfulness is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul starts almost every letter, or in every letter he writes. I mean, it's a man of thankfulness. He just over and over you see him being thankful for individuals, or thanking groups, certain congregations, certain groups of saints where people are meeting. And let's, for instance, let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We'll look here at verse 15. "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." So here we see, and this is something, like I said, in the life of Paul, in all of the letters that he wrote, I do not cease to give thanks. Look at his thankful attitude. Thanking, the Lord for certain individuals or certain groups. We see this, it's just a common theme in the life of the Apostle Paul. We always see him giving thanks and always remembering to pray to God in thanksgiving for these people. And he always is thanking God for certain things. And then the last one that I would like to look at, and the last example, is the psalmist. You look at the Psalms, and the Psalms are full of thanksgiving. And I'm not going to ask you to turn to these, because we're just going to kind of go through them rather quickly. But if you do want a list of all of these, I can get you these afterwards. But you don't have to search far in the book of Psalms to find an idea of thanksgiving. But just a few to kind of throw some out there. Psalm 7 and verse 17. "I will give to the Lord the thanks due to his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord, the Most High." Turning over, Psalm 9 and verse 1. "I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds." Psalm 28 and verse 7, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exalts with my song. I give thanks to him." Psalm 30 and verse 4, "Sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints, and give thanks to his holy name." Psalm 69 and verse 30, "I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving." Psalm 86 and verse 12, I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever." Psalm 100 and verse 4, "Enter the gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name." And then Psalm 118 and verse 1, "O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." So here we see the Psalms just completely full of thanksgiving. I mean, you can just about turn to every Psalm and see thanksgiving and this idea of praise to the Lord. So I think we can see that, from these three biblical examples, thankfulness is certainly something that's needed in our lives. And I'm sure that, by this point, you're saying, hey, I got the point. We need to be more thankful. But why do we need to be more thankful? So now what I wanted to kind of look at and spend the rest of this evening about is just looking at some practical applications. Why should we be thankful? And what are some ways that we show our thankfulness? And the first idea, and we'll kind of throw out 4 points, and then the rest of the lesson will be yours. But the first point being that all of our blessings are that they come from the Lord, and I think that's a great reason to be thankful that we are so blessed. Everything we have comes from the Lord our God. Let's look over at James chapter 1. James 1. And we'll look here at verse 17. James 1 and verse 17 reads, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." So here we see that every gift, every good and perfect gift comes from above. It comes from our Lord. What a reason to be thankful for. He blesses us and He takes care of us. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1 now. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1 and we'll look at verse 3. Ephesians 1 and verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places." Look at that. Every spiritual blessing that we have comes from the Lord. It comes from above. It comes from those heavenly places. Again, what a great reason to give thanks. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord. And every spiritual blessing that we have comes from the Lord. We need to be thankful for those things. Let's look also at Matthew chapter 6. Please be turning with me to Matthew chapter 6. We'll start here at verse 25. Matthew 6 and verse 25. "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need all of them. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." So here we see, I know that this passage mainly speaks about our anxieties in life and not to worry about the things of tomorrow. Let's focus upon today. But, you can't help but look at the blessings that God gives us. He clothes us. He provides for us food. I mean, He tells us, don't even worry about those things because I am going to provide. What a blessing it is. I mean, I know, Austin even pointed out in his lesson this morning that, we have one of 22, it's a one of 22 chance of being an American. What a blessing that is. As much as you can look out at the corruptness of America and the world, what a blessing it is, as Austin pointed out this morning, to come to God, to be that 122nd that's an American that can come and meet here freely, that doesn't have to worry about persecution. What a blessing. You know, and to think that the Lord provides us clothing, He provides us, you know, automobiles to get, you know, from point A to point B. We never have to worry about where we can lay down our head. We never have to worry about what we're going to eat. He provides us jobs. He gives us the abilities that we have to carry out those jobs. What a blessing. And so I think that's the first thing that we need to do, is realize how richly blessed we are. Blessed from our Father above, you know. How often do we take these rich blessings that the Lord gives us for granted? How often, you know, how many times do we forget to kneel to God in prayer and thank Him for these things? This needs to be something that is continually on our mind. It was continually on the Apostle Paul's mind. It should continually be on our mind. We should always be thanking God for the things that He's given us. But you know, how easy is it for us to turn to God when things do go wrong and say, well, you know, to tell God what He did wrong in our lives, you know, and, well, you know, this didn't go my way, Lord, and I'm not happy about us. We're so quick to do things like that. But how often do we actually go to Him and just take the time to say, man, I am a blessed man, or I am a blessed woman? So we need to be making sure to take these times, to dedicate times in prayer to God, to be thankful to Him and show Him how thankful we are for every blessing that He's given us. You know, we can't even name all the blessings He gives us. We can't even number all of the blessings that He gives us. How richly of a people we are blessed. So that's certainly a reason to be thankful for. Now, an idea of how to show our thankfulness is, I think Scripture shows us that we can show our thankfulness by telling others. You know, we mentioned earlier the Apostle Paul, and we'll look a little bit more in detail with the Apostle Paul here. But you know, many refer to the Apostle Paul as the Apostle of Thanksgiving. You know, and we pointed out that he's always speaking of how thankful he is. And you know, again, I'm just going to kind of go through a quick list here of just some areas that the Apostle Paul gives thanks to God in. And, you know, so we'll just go through these quickly. You don't have to turn to them, but we see in Romans 6:17, he's saying, thanks be to God. Romans 7:25, I thank God. 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be unto God. Colossians 1:3, we give thanks to God. Colossians 1:12, giving thanks unto the Father. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, we thank God without ceasing. 1 Timothy 1:12, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord. 2 Timothy 1:3, he says, I thank God. Philemon 1:4, he says, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers. And here's speaking of, you know, of now individuals. He says in Romans 1:8, I thank my God for you all. Over in 1 Corinthians 1:4, he says, I thank my God always on your behalf. On Ephesians 1:16, he says, I cease not to give thanks for you. 1 Thessalonians 1:12, he says, we give thanks to God always for you all. 2 Thessalonians 1:3, we are bound to thank God always for you. And in 2 Thessalonians 2:13, it says, we are bound to give thanks always to God for you. You know, we see this life in the Apostle Paul, one of complete thankfulness, always thanking God, you know, and I think we can ask ourselves the question, you know, are we like the one leper that came to Christ and that thanked Him, or are we like the other nine? And, you know, I think in looking at the Apostle Paul's life, we can say that he was like that one leper. That one leper that was cleansed, we see in the Apostle Paul's life, him continually and constantly giving thanks to the Father. You know, so in looking at Paul's life, we see him thanking individuals. We see him, you know, telling them how thankful he is for them and how thankful he is for groups. So, you know, I ask the question, you know, how thankful are we in this room for each other? You know, how often do we tell each other, hey man, I'm thankful for you? You know, and I think that's something that we need to think about. It's so easy to complain. You know, the news is full of complaining. We see the children of Israel and how they always complained. And, you know, they were a complaining people. And like I said, the news, I mean, it's negative, negative, negative. It's always complaining. You know, and how easy is that to creep into our lives? How easy is that to allow that to creep into this group, this congregation? And then before you know it, you're complaining, oh, we're such a small group. You know, we only got, you know, 45 members and we only had, well, I guess that's the attendance last Sunday. So, you know, only 44 last Sunday. And then, you know, it was 35 or whatever it was. And, you know, you begin to complain about that. Or do you start to complain about, well, you know, the preaching just, you know, it's just not edifying for me. You know, it just doesn't do anything for me anymore. Maybe the teaching. You know, I think that we need to sit back and we need to step back and we need to think about how blessed we are. And how thankful we really need to be. Do you realize that we are one of the only sound groups in a city of about 1 million people? That's something to be thankful for. That there is 45 individuals or so, you know, plus or minus 10, that is a light amongst 1 million people. You know, or 850,000, whatever it is. That's something to be thankful for. You know, how thankful are we for the good preaching that we have, for the work that Jeff does, for the work that the song leaders do, or the teachers, or the, you know, the those who cook meals and bring it over to those who are sick. You know, we need to count these blessings and we need to be thankful as we think about these things, because we are such a blessed group and such a blessed congregation. And so that's, I think, the second thing, that I think we show our thankfulness by telling others. Of telling others how thankful I am to you. And that's certainly something that we need to do each and every day, is tell each other how thankful we are for them. It's so encouraging. That's how we build one another up. You know, that's how we encourage one another, when we tell each other, man, I'm thankful for you and I appreciate what you did for me. Or I appreciate that sermon that you gave me. It's just that little thing that helps build each other up. But next, you know, in kind of going along with our services, I think that, you know, our worship, it's a reflection of our thankfulness. And I think that's our third point, is that our worship unto our Lord is a reflection of our thankfulness. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll look here at verse 18 of Ephesians 5. Picking up in verse 18, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now let's look over at, we already pointed it out, but Psalm 30. We can turn over in Psalm 30. Psalm 30 and verse 4 reads, sing praises to the Lord, O you His saints, and give thanks to His holy name. And then Psalm 100 and verse 4, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. Every time we come together, it's giving our thanksgiving. You know, we just read in Ephesians 5, and at verse 20 it says, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when we gather together, we are giving thanks to God. You know, and our worship is a worship of thanksgiving. When we partake of this Lord's Supper, we are offering our thanks to God. You know, and so I'll suggest to you, you know, we talk about, you know, Scripture and passages such as Hebrews, you know, chapter 10. And at verse 25, when we're commanded not to neglect the assembling of the saints, you know, I'll kind of suggest that, you know, the times that we decide not to come and to worship, when it's our choice to not come and worship, you know, I kind of think we're like one of those nine lepers. You know, I don't want to come and give thanks to you today, God. You know, so I think that that's something that each of us needs to think about, you know, in our assembly. You know, to make sure that, hey, you know, I get to go and give thanks to God today. What a privilege that is. What an honor that is to be able to come in His midst with my brothers and sisters in Christ to exalt His name and to worship God. What a great time of thanksgiving, and a great time, as I said, that we can edify one another. It says that it's the psalms and the hymns and the spiritual songs. It's those words of thanksgiving that helps encourages, you know, each of us. And so I think that, you know, we can certainly say that our worship is a reflection of our thankfulness unto the Lord. And then the last point, the fourth point that I have tonight is that, we need to be thankful each and every day because we are those lepers. We are those lepers that were cleansed. You know, we were once those people who were cast outside of this city. We were once those people who were completely unclean and were separated from God. And yet it was Christ that came. And it was Christ that healed us and paid that price. What more of a reason to be thankful? Let's look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and we'll start here at verse 6. Romans 5 and verse 6, "For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows His life for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." You know, you can substitute that. While we were still lepers, while we were still dead, while we were still unclean, Christ paid the price. And Christ healed us so that we could come back inside the city. What a reason to be thankful for. Let's look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll look here at verse 57 of 1 Corinthians 15. "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." The victory is through Christ. You know, it's only through the grace of the Almighty God that we can be cleansed of our leprosy, our sin. It's Jesus Christ, it's our great physician that gives us life. You know, as I said, it's sin that separates us from God. As a disease once separated a man from his family, as a disease once separated a man from, you know, maybe his livelihood or his interactions with his friends and loved ones, a disease separated him back then. But it's sin that separates us now from our Lord and our Jesus Christ. But it was because He paid that price. And He died upon Calvary's cross and shed His blood for the remission of our sins. And that's how we get back in, is through the blood of Christ. What a great reason to give thanks in looking at what Christ did for us, in looking at the price that was paid to free us of our sin-stricken disease. You know, just like the lepers in Old Testament times, they could be healed, and they could, as we read, go in remission from their leprosy, but it took them having to go to the high priest. It took that action upon their behalf to go to the high priest, and that they could be considered clean once again. You know, we can have our life restored once again, and through our high priest, Jesus Christ, we have to come to Him. We have to submit to His will, and it's only through His shed blood that we can be healed of our disease, of our illness. You know, and we also, so we do extend the invitation for those who have not put on Christ, who are diseased in this sin. We offer this invitation for you to come to the high priest. You know, to come forward, to be buried in baptism and the blood and the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to come to Him. To walk a healed man. To enter back inside the city gates, to have that relationship once again with God. What a reason to be thankful for. And for those of us who have been healed of our sickness, of our disease, of our sin, and been forgiven, let's never forget to be thankful. And to always go to God in prayer and be thankful for what He did on our behalf. And we also offer that opportunity for those who have fallen away, those who might have been cleansed that have become lepers. You know, you too can have that chance to make your right life with God. Again, you just must come to the high priest. and confess your sins and to He will restore you back. He will heal you once again. Christ has that power. He's the great physician. So whatever your need may be, please come with us. Come forward as we stand and sing.